Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, that was a live yawn you heard on the air because the King of Kings, the Harbaugh himself, is exhausted. But someone keep knocking me down to do a quick minute show about a year in review. So to keep his mouth shut, I gave in. So this is my Christmas gift from me to Sean Black, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, I am your host, or the most, the King of King himself, the Hot Rod. And Merry Christmas to you, season greetings, Happy Holidays to you, Sean Black.
Well, thank you very much. I'm flattered. Sean Black in the building once again. And Merry Christmas and Happy Christmas Kwanzaa? Happy Festivus. That's the other one that used to say, so... Mm-hmm.
Well, we celebrate. Enjoy it. But
yeah.
Talk about the time of celebration and everything. And it's funny, Sean Black almost did not make it because he went out shopping to go get the 20 items that I needed for Christmas. Thanks so much, Sean. But one of the gifts that you give me, if I don't like it, may I regift it? In other words, my first question of tonight is, do you think it's considered tasteless or disrespectful regifting?
I think it depends on if there was any real sentiment behind the gift. Most people, when they buy a gift, depending on who they're getting it for, it's mostly for, you know, you have a best friend and you know that they went on a trip somewhere, so you get them some sort of gift that reminds them of the trip. Or something along those lines. And if you find out that then they regifted something like that, then it's kind of looked at as tacky. But if it's something where you just bought somebody a bunch of chocolates because, you know, that's what you're getting everybody else, and they didn't like the chocolate, so they decided to regift it, you know, to each their own. But I think that it's the idea behind the gift and not the actual gift, unless it's of sentimental value.
True. I'm like, if I give my son a Barbie doll, of course he's going to give that gift to a girl because that's not what he wanted. But in general, if I know Sean Black loves video games and I went out to go buy him chocolate and knowing that he doesn't eat chocolate, of course he has the given right to re-gift that thing.
But although I know I'm probably going to eat the chocolate anyway. But I understand.
True, but there's some people out there that don't take the reason why I bring this up because at work, at my job, we had Secret Santa, and this person got another person one earring. So we always question, like, okay, why this person, the person who gave the gift out was in the room, but we all thought, like, is the second earring missing or something like that, or, so, long story short, to call the person up, I say, yes, the gift is one earring. So the person say thank you, and no, that was it. Of course, she was very upset. Like, why you want to give someone one earring? Instead of just, not the value of the earring or the price, that doesn't matter. But, like, one earring, like, what? You should take at least the thought of, you know, going that amount of getting a pair of earrings. Because now these days, no one do not wear one earring unless you wear a nose ring. But that's a person's discretion to wear a nose ring or not. So do you think that person had a right to be a little bit, not totally upset, but a little bit like, you know, WTF is this?
Probably. I mean, I know unless you're Mr. T and you like to walk around with one earring in your ear, you know, I mean, there are people that actually do walk around with one earring. But I think, like I said before, it depends on the gift. And I think it's also to a lot of people, I think a lot of people equate the actual price of what they got to how much they cared about somebody. Like, you know, you go ahead and you'll hear people talk about, well, I got this gift and it was such a great gift. Well, I spent $400 on this gift. And it's supposed to show other people that because you spent all this money on one gift towards one person, that you really, really care. As opposed to the thoughtful gift that may cost maybe $3 that has much more meaning to it and is more valuable to some people.
Well, let me set the record straight, Sean Blight. If you give me cheap vodka, it's on. That's all I need to say. But other than that,
can't get you drunk fast enough, apparently.
No. Come on. After 40 years of experience? Oh, please. But there's a topic. Our topic tonight is basically topics of year review, because this has been a very crazy year overall. I'm sure we might be saying that every year, but I'm sure there's a lot that came up to your mind. But one thing that came to my mind that I want to address again, and even though we did talk about this 2 weeks ago, was a Kevin Hart situation of him trying, you know, him and the Oscar controversy.
Hmm.
And, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I believe Kevin Hart was, what happened to Kevin Hart was a setup. I'm not saying by who or don't know who. It does, the reaction of people, like, I believe this was another overreaction / distraction. I'm not defending of what Kevin Hart said. You know, I was questioning the timing of it. So I'm like, if something that was posted 10 years ago, I'm just making a year up.
Okay.
It wasn't offensive back then, right? Well, it's been on Twitter feed 10 years ago. All of a sudden, because of the way society is right now, all of a sudden now it's been offensive, especially when someone just got a job. So you tell me someone went deep back in the past and decided to bring this up on the market? Do you find that a little bit fishy? I'm not defending on what he said. You know, to me, I'm like, I find it funny, but that's just my taste. I'm just questioning the timing. He received an Oscar job, I'm just saying Wednesday. Then all of a sudden Friday, these old tweets came out that happened 10 years ago. If Kevin Hart posted these tweets right now, yes, I'll agree. Poor timing. Faceless. But something that happened 10 years ago, people do change. People say crazy things or do crazy things all the time. Not like he raped anyone. Not like he say he hate gay people, black people, white people, whatever. It was something, maybe his own taste at that time. Bottom line, Sean Black, do you find this a little bit suspect?
Of course. And I think what we've seen, and we see this especially with African-American either comedians or celebrities, ones that are seemingly starting to get a whole deal of praise and attention. You know, Kevin Hart, the first time I ever heard of him was in that horrible movie Soul Plane. And apparently he stuck out from that movie. And I was like, okay. Then I started seeing some of his stand-up. He's been doing movies. He's been hosting. He has his own production company. He's really grown over the last, I'd say, the last 10 years to a lot of people know who he is and what he's about. Now, I've stated this before, and you just brought it up as well. Everybody, and I think the last show that we did, we touched on this, everybody has said something really dumb or stupid when they were young. That's the whole premise of being young. Now, you can also have the opportunity to evolve your thinking and evolve whatever your thought process is from 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, to what you are today. And you are allowed that right because as a human being, your feelings change, your thoughts change. You become more informed. You're not as immature. Now, in this sense, we talk about Kevin Hart. We know that he was about to get one of the biggest gigs he's ever had. And for that to be basically ripped away from him in this sense, that somebody who had a vendetta against him, whoever it was, decided to wait until the time of perhaps his biggest shine moment of his career. And this isn't the first time we've seen something like this happen. We've seen Kyler Murray, who just won the Heisman Trophy, biggest award that a college football player can win. And then literally the day after, he's having to actually answer for homophobic tweets that he's put up when he was 13, 14 years old. We saw another player.
Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off. Excuse me. That drives me insane, crazy. And I'm not questioning the setup. It's like people respond to it. Oh, how could you? And like the fish, I'm like, 13, 14. Teenagers say the meanest kids will say the meanest things at all the time, especially unfortunately now on social media. And people will use that agenda towards that person, like, oh, see, I'm just saying the name. Sean White is racist, or Sean White is a bigot, he's a homophobic. And people don't take the words and just turn it around. Maybe I'm just having a moment at that time and just release myself. You know, I'm just talking. Teenage kids talk nonsense all the time and say the stupidest things whatsoever. You hear in New York City, Sean Black, I'm sure you hear these kids say the meanest things to each other. Like, wow. By that time, would I say they're homophobic or they're racist? No. That's how kids are. For example, my son's school, he's in kindergarten. I heard a bunch of kids told him that, your belly button was so big, I thought it was a third nipple of your breast. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
And this is not even teenagers, like maybe 10, 11 years old. And this is the language that they're talking about. So imagine if I took that statement from this kid and used it against him 10 years later. Am I wrong for that?
And that's part of the problem, is that we have lost all context when somebody uses first of all, there's no excuse for any homophobic or any other slurs anywhere. So that's not what this is about. What this seems to be about is the fact that way too many times we're seeing people that have prominent opportunities yanked away from them because of something that they might have said that was untimely in the past. Now, if we're talking about something that is happening, let's say Kevin Hart got the hosting gig for the Oscars, and it was found out that 3 weeks ago he said something homophobic. That's something he's got to answer for. Because in today's society, you know that there is an ultra sensitivity to lots of things. And there is a community that is out there that is looking out for the success of the community. But also, you got to remember, there are kids and children that are of the LGBT community that are looking up to celebrities and listening to things that they say. And you have to watch what you say and know the sensitivity behind these issues. You can't flagrantly go out and say this and say that without backlash, especially as a celebrity or something along those lines. So now you've got sponsors behind you. You've got all these other things going on. Now, like I said, that's only if, let's say, this happened a couple weeks, couple months, or whatever. But you're going back with the express intent to harm someone's chances to do something great in their career, and to pull that up without context and without somebody having the opportunity to explain themselves. Kevin Hart explained himself more than once. He apologized for it more than once. And now, because of what he said that the Academy wanted him to apologize again, and he said, I've apologized more than once. He did, I think, two videos apologizing.
And you know what? A lot of people condemn Kevin Hart of stepping down. I can't believe I'm saying this. I praise Kevin Hart for stepping up and, you know, not taking a job. And the reason why that is, like you just stated, Sean Black, he apologized once and twice for something that happened 10 years ago. And I listened to other media outlets or how, you know, basically they're crucifying Kevin Hart like he killed someone. Oh, I can't believe Kevin Hart said this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, people, before you criticize one person, make sure your closet is clean out. You know, especially for something that happened in the past. And like you stated, Sean Black, if this happened 3 weeks ago, hey, you know what? Kevin Hart, you did it to yourself. You should have known better. Especially this sensitive time right now.
Yes.
But it's like, it's kind of like this, like, when I listen to other people and the hypocrites that they are, I think it's the hypocrites that kill me. Like, once again, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, how, you know, the lyrics of Baby's Cold Outside is becoming very offensive. But you, right now, people who are criticizing song of It's Cold, Baby's Cold Outside, or criticizing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer of being bullied, you are listening to Cardi B of eating booty out, or watching Love & Hip Hop. It's like, pick and choose your battle, people. So you tell me 20 years later from now, people look at Love & Hip Hop as being bullied, as being whatever?
Yeah. Because remember, we also know that the times change and the times evolve. And as I stated before, you actually have to have knowledge of context of when certain things happen, certain time periods. You have to know basically what that time period entailed. Now, there are a lot of things that happened in the 50s and 60s that we've heard celebrities say that you couldn't get away with today. But a lot of them aren't being condemned today based on the fact that we know that a lot of those thought processes and the thoughts that they had and their opinions were stuck back in that time period. There are a lot of names and a lot of words and slurs that I heard for other ethnicities in the 20s and 30s, especially after World War I and World War II, that were called back then that were accepted. Today, because we know how harmful they are, you wouldn't dare utter those words. And that's because of context. We know the time period. We know what they mean. We know what it is. And that's the reason why you have to look at the entire totality of it before you can go ahead and make that rush judgment. Kevin Hart already explained, you know, what it was. He was wrong. He explained it. He apologized for that. And now comes the time where what's going to happen next? Is he going to be condemned? Is he going to, you know, speak to that LGBT community? Well, what is he going to do? What's going to be the next step? I think that's what everybody is waiting for.
But he doesn't need to do all that. I'm sorry, I'm going to be the bad guy here because I really don't care. He does not need to do all that. He say his piece, let's move on, but apparently people cannot move on. Instead, they should be focusing on cases like this that I'm about to come up, I'm about to talk up in a few minutes. This is the year of the Me Too movement. God knows how much I blast that all the time. Women's rights and everything. But this is a story that's coming up, and why we have the Me Too movement, why women are still suffering, and why there's still no need to make noise. And even though I do criticize some of the power of the Me Too movement, and the mainstream of it, but when you hear of a rapist in a fraternity party, a guy who raped a woman, a 19-year-old girl, so I know who I'm talking about, and, of course, another example, white privilege, is facing, even though the evidence was there, the girl reported the story right away of her being raped, this man is not facing any jail time. You know what I'm talking about, right, Sean Black?
Yeah, I know that, but I forgot the name, but I know exactly what
you're talking about. Yeah, me too. I'm like, this is a last-minute show we're doing, so I apologize for not having the full story. But basically, it was a college party. Girl got raped by a guy, by the president of the fraternity, but he's not facing no jail time, getting 3-year probation, and basically got a slap on the wrist. Now, this is a perfect example of white privilege / Me Too movement being thrown to the ground. It's like, it's insane how something like this happening. And when you hear stories like this, Sean, like, what went through your mind when you heard the verdict? Basically, not guilty.
It almost reminded me of the Brock Turner incident that we talked about from a couple of years ago, which was I believe he was a lacrosse player that went to Duke, that raped a female, was on trial, and instead of getting full jail time, the judge favorably gave him like a slap on the wrist. and said that this kid has suffered enough. He shouldn't have his whole life ripped apart from him because of a mistake that he made, et cetera, et cetera. And it's the same kind of thought process behind it. It's, let me get this straight. This kid raped somebody, and instead of thinking about the victim involved, we're trying to placate the perpetrator so that the perpetrator doesn't get strife. And then on top of that, you're going to basically go ahead and now, as we've seen in many of these cases, a lot of victim shaming going on. Oh, it's because of you that this didn't happen with our school. Oh, because of you, this and this and this that happened. And we as a society have to realize at some point there is something extremely wrong with not only the thought process behind all of this, but also where people are aiming their anger. It needs to be at the system involved, because as you just stated before, there are a lot of instances where, as we continue to talk about white privilege in society, happens on a huge scale. And a lot of times it's not even that overt. It can be just subtle. But it's out there, and a lot of people are suffering because of it.
Well, you have a case of a once again, man, I'm very bad tonight. A case of a girl who killed a guy who kept her in prison in a basement for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pedophile, but she's going to jail for 30 years.
Yes, I think her name is Centoya Brown. I know who you're talking about.
Yes, and like compare the two cases right here.
Yes.
A poor girl, and I believe the girl is black or Latino or something like that. She's black.
She's black.
She killed basically in self-defense, who's been tortured, raped for these years. She killed the guy in self-defense. She faces jail time, while the person who raped a 19-year-old girl is not registered as a sex offender and is getting no jail. It's funny how that works in this society today.
Yeah, and to even further jump on that story is the fact that she was abused by her pimp at the age, I believe, of 14 or 15. She was a teenager at the time. She either ran away from home or she was away from home. And what happened was her pimp basically forced her to turn tricks. She went over to a John's house. The John, who she suspected was going to kill her or do some harm to her, she, in self-defense, killed him. Forget about the fact that she's already being, at her age, forced to be a prostitute. Instead of getting her the help that she needed, they prosecuted her and threw away the book, and she's supposed to serve 51 years in jail before she can get out. As a teenager, she's already been in jail 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the kind of issue that happens, where if the shoe's on the other foot, and we heard about, you know, Jessica White from a privileged area of the country who ran away from home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If the shoe's on the other foot, chances are this would be a Lifetime movie. You would have heard she got the help that she needed. You would have heard she was reformed. You would have heard she's lucky to be alive. You wouldn't be hearing the harsh horror stories that you hear when minorities go through the same kind of strife and they don't get the same positive reinforcement that you hear other people get.
I just find it funny, before I go to K-Dog, that this crazy year that we've gone through is, you know, we don't want to play the race card, but it seems like we have no choice sometimes, most of the times. Excuse me, not sometimes, most of the time, but play the race card and see how this is a year of blacks being called on by white people for doing nothing. You know, the Starbucks situation, the backyard, the kids selling or water. Then it's like the year of white privilege has been exposed. But it always been there, but now it's been recorded on TV and exposed on social media. Do you find that funny?
Very. In the sense that it would be funny if it wasn't so sad.
I'm sorry,
it was so
funny
true.
And scary at the same time?
I think what we're seeing now, and although you heard me dump all over social media as far as what it can do, but there are some positives to it, and this is one of them. One of the positives is that it's highlighting things that have probably been happening much longer and at a deeper rate, deeper penetration in certain parts of the country than most people would realize. And I think that when you see what we've been through, all of those examples you just brought up, and when I start hearing stories about somebody calling the cops on somebody for something stupid, or the guy that got the cops called on him for trying to get into his own damn apartment, as you heard me state before, probably earlier this year, I said that something, God forbid, is going to happen. Somebody's going to get killed over one of these police calls. And I think people have gotten so fed up. They're so tired of these stories, but they happen on a regular, everyday basis, it seems. Every 2 days or every 3 days, we hear about something like this. And the sad part about it is it doesn't seem to ever change, because there is a section of people in this country, this is not all, but there is a section of people in this country that firmly believe that just because African Americans and minorities just want the right to exist, they don't have that right to live in peace. And this is one of those things that happens.
Right. Now on to K-Dog. K-Dog, in the year 2018 has been, like I told Sean Black, a crazy year. What stuck to your mind as the most craziest point of 2018? What story you'd like to bring up?
Wow. The story that I'd like to bring up is, unfortunately, there was a very sad incident of a 9-year-old who hung herself after being bullied.
Yes. Thank you for bringing it up. We always meant to talk about that story, but we never got around to it because, like I said, it's been a crazy year.
It has been.
What went through your mind about that story?
What's sad about it is that this poor little girl was asking for help. She was crying out for help, and nobody heard her. I mean, bullying can take a major effect on a child. You know, bullying of all sorts. I mean, whether it's physical or verbal, it's just horrible what a kid has to go through being bullied. And, you know, school's got to do something to combat that problem, because, believe it or not, it's led to a lot of tragedies of students committing suicide or students wanting to get revenge and coming into schools and shooting up the place. But wow, my heart goes out to the family of that little 9-year-old girl. It's just tragic.
Sean? Yeah. I don't know where to beat this, because it's disturbing.
It is.
But the crazy part about this is the fact that it's not unique anymore, because this is something that's happened more than once, where you hear on some level, because of social media, because of just how people really react, how they really act to other people, and just the way society has become, you're hearing more and more about kids nowadays feeling so despondent, so detached, so attacked, so worthless to themselves, having such a low sense of worth.
That they have suicidal thoughts.
Yes, not just suicidal thoughts. They actually act them out.
Yeah.
Hearing about the kid that hung himself in the closet because he was bullied online, or hearing about the kid that decided to overdose on a drug because he didn't want to go back to school. You hear about these kinds of things happen. The crazy thing about it is these kinds of stories you think you would only hear in some sort of warped TV show. Like, this is a plot line for a television show, like Law and Order or something. And the chances are, most of these stories are true, sad as they are.
And one more story I'd like to add on, because you guys just remind me of this, and this crazy year that we have in. It's funny, in 2018, we had over 300 mass shootings. And, of course, the problem continues. And like I told Sean Black a few weeks ago, 4 people died from eating salad, well, E. coli outbreak,
right?
And then remove all the lettuce from the counter. Now, where our priorities is set, where four people die from eating salad, the world we at, but 308, I believe, mass shootings, but the government
which
has not
man-made.
Done a damn thing, which is man-made, but the government did not do anything about it. Do you find that funny
nope.
and ironic?
No, the government, because you know why? There's a love affair with guns. People love guns. We thought we saw it all once we heard about, unfortunately, the this past Friday made 6 years since the shooting in Columbine. And, of course, we hear about other shootings that have happened after that. We hear about Vegas. We hear about the church shooting. We hear about synagogues. I mean, time and time again, these things are happening. But yet, people still have their love affair with guns.
Hmm. Talk about love affair. We have Lady T in the house who definitely loved me, and she's blessing us with a present as a Christmas gift to us. Lady T.
Hey,
Hey.
Oh, it just woke up, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's past someone's bedtime, I see.
It's past my bedtime. I'm the oldest here.
It's past my bedtime, huh?
Well, Lady T, what is your story that you want to bring up for 2018?
Wow.
I know, there's so many.
So many stories. I don't know where to start. I don't even know yet.
Okay. Well, I do have a question for you, Lady T, for 2018. And someone brought this question up to me. And you know what? I'll get it to you guys as well. And since we're... Since 2019 is coming up, and we're going to start with relationship questions again. In 2018, a lot of people have asked me, when you're on a date or you start a relationship new with someone, and someone gave you, and you know, you, of course, you want to know the past, the history of that person. For example, Sean Black. I'll start off with you. If you date someone and you find out, and you want to know. Why the last relationship did not work, and the person told you that she cheated, does that cause a red flag for you for that person, or some concerns?
Not a red flag, because you have to know the context of what happened. If some people won't even let you know that they did cheat in the past, that would be more cause of alarm, because if they've cheated but they haven't told you about it, that might be something that would be the red flag. But if you know up front, you're in a relationship, especially it's fresh, it's new, you want to know what's going on. If they voluntarily tell you, well, you know, I was in my last relationship and such happened and I cheated on them because of, et cetera, then you can actually say, okay, I know potentially why it happened. And this, the premise is to avoid getting it to that point where it does happen, and that all goes into communication. And you're starting a relationship fresh and anew. You have to actually go into the relationship and state it, well, I'm going to be honest, this is what happened. She's going to be honest, this is what happened. And then you bring that into the conversation before you really start to get into it. And when that becomes the case, you can kind of work on why it did happen, why it didn't happen, and try to avoid that situation from happening, as opposed to building the foundation on a bed of lies.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kato, do you agree with that?
Listen, I agree 100%.
Or do you see some concerns, like when someone open tell you about a relationship that he or she cheated on already? In the past.
You know what it is? It's always good to hear what happened, like the reason for it. You know, you have to listen to the person. I mean, I'm gonna guess that what you cheated. Okay, let me tell you what happened. Okay, and I need you to be honest with me about what led to it.
Okay, good point there. I give you good points there. You're finally making some sense. You must be awake right now. But,
oh my goodness.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm like, overall, if I'm in a relationship or start dating someone, and the lady told me, yes, I cheated on so-and-so in the past, to me it's like, I'm not surprised. I should be surprised. I really don't care, because people do change. And guess what? In my opinion, a lot of people cheat in the past. or have cheated at some point in their time, whether it's emotional, physical, whatever. So this cheating thing to me is now is out the window. Keisha?
If they told me that they cheated, I don't know. It'll be a red flag in my mind. When's a cheater? Always a cheater. I'm sorry.
Very understandable.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. But will you give that person a chance at least?
That I don't know.
See, we don't want this up because, like I said, someone asked me this, and I heard this on a radio show. Oh, in my Uber cab. I'm like, you know what? That's very interesting about that because everybody deserves a second chance. And I also was thinking about the Nicki Minaj relationship as well, how people would bring him the past that he was a child predator and he was charged with manslaughter, but she defended him. I'm like, really? Wow. was the sex that good that you defended him? And I mean, no, that's a whole different. That's a 360, but still, like, wow. And, you know, despite his past, you still give him a chance. And I find that very interesting. Like, overall, do you still this person, you give this person a chance to end the relationship? And on that note, we have Phil the Fist Matt Fisher. Phil.
Hey, Phil, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to call you guys, you know, just wish you a Merry Christmas, you know. And hopefully a good new year coming up. And
I just want to say
with everything that has gone on this year and everything with the white privilege, Me Too movement, you know, all these mass shootings and everything, I was thinking of starting a movement of my own, you know, for like people that get offended with every little thing and all that. Do you remember the 70s show? Did anybody ever watch that?
Yeah.
Here we go again.
It's going to be called the hashtag My Foot Up Your Ass Movement. You don't like what I have to say? I'll tell you the story of My Foot Up Your Ass. That should be the new movement.
Oh, man.
Okay, so somebody's all angry tonight. Okay. Phil, why do you think a lot of people are very offensive, very sensitive right now?
It's just everything. I mean, every little thing that somebody says, it's just ridiculous. I mean, all of a sudden, this cartoon is deemed racist. All of a sudden, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is bullying.
Oh,
I mean,
goodness.
Come on. It's ridiculous.
I really can't stay. Baby, it's cold outside. Wow, I can't
believe
that.
Yeah, that too. Come on. I mean, how many years?
That song's
been
there since 1944. It was in a movie musical. So how offended...
But
I was just saying that overall millennials they think differently. They try to think outside the box, and they come up with these concepts because of what's going on in the crazy world today. And when, like, for example, remember when we discussed Christopher Columbus? You know, he was a murderer and all this stuff, but we still have a statue up in Columbus Circle. In New York
of
City,
course.
Should we take it down now, or why do we still celebrate Thanksgiving, knowing what happened? Why we still celebrate Christmas, knowing that it's a fake holiday, and the Easter Bunny, and all this other stuff? I don't know what to tell you anymore, Phil.
I don't know what to tell you guys. You know,
the world's
funny.
Gone mad.
You know, you were talking about the whole thing with Billy Brown being bullied and his heart in the right place. First of all, how many times when they would blame him for causing the team the game-winning field goal, and they were bullying him? I'm like, first of all, who the hell was Lucy to take the ball away when he was trying to get the game-winning field goal? Now, where was the coach?
Okay, for the record, ladies and gentlemen, Phil is 40 years old. He still watches Charlie Brown every night. I'm just saying.
I'm
that
sure
for
you
record.
Do. This coming from some guy that can't even get a show right. He's got a yawn to introduce himself.
Listen, I got kids, okay? I got kids, all right?
You try living in my house.
No, but Sean brought up a good point a while back that despite all the bullying and everything, there's a message in it at the end. And I think people fail to realize that good always come out in the end. But
it does.
But people decide to look over the bigger picture. Charlie Brown got his butt kicked by a girl.
Oh, will you shut up? My brother's being an ass. You got to excuse him.
Hey, it runs in the family. We know that already. But besides that, so I'm like, anything you'd like to add?
I think that if you're trying to, I think anybody can pick and choose any small thing out of something that happened in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whether it's cartoons, whether it's, you know, old movies, TVs, etc. Like we said before, that particular time period, the mood, the aura, everything around it was completely different than what we see today. And as what I said before, and when you take something out of context and you don't apply context to the argument, you can pull anything and structure it toward your point to make yourself sound and look better. I think that we are in a society now that is trying to overcorrect the things that a lot of people would have considered offensive way back when. As I said before, you couldn't say the word pregnant on regular television. You couldn't show a married couple on camera sleeping in the same bed up until the late 60s.
Bed.
They had separate beds, especially in the 40s and the 50s, because it was looked at as immoral to be able to do that. So that's completely changed now.
I'm offended by that.
Yeah. So you have to look at context in the time period of when certain things happen. And if you're pulling out an example like Charlie Brown or the Looney Tunes, where there were lots of racist things, or even old Disney cartoons that were had propaganda pieces about the Japanese and propaganda pieces about a lot of different things. It was the time period that they were released in that said the statement about what they were talking about. That doesn't make it right, but that's exactly what happened then, to pull it down to now and then try to reform it for today's society. Of course, whatever was that message in that time period will be lost in what they're trying to explain based on what's happening now.
So, Fortisha, what do you foresee in 2019?
Sorry, I didn't hear you. You said what?
What do you foresee for 2019? Good things, bad things, or this world's messed up?
I don't know. I hope things get better. I don't know, but I see a lot of critics. That's all. Critics.
I foresee more chaos. Like, I think this is only the beginning. The worst is yet to come, and we're going to be talking about it almost every week. Like this year, it was nothing but the phone calls. I think they're going to find something else trending next year. And may God help us all, and God help our children, especially Phil. He's the biggest kid. Well, on that note, guys, I want to thank all our listeners, Shirley, Phil, Mike from California, our producer, Keisha, K-Dog, Sean, Max. Let's go on and on. And I wish you guys the best, healthy new year, the best season. We're going to get drunk together, you know, soon, except for Phil. We get drunk in spirit. And you know what? I just wish you guys the best. And thank you for making the show phenomenal, as always. And we have our moments. We disagree. We agree. But bottom line, the high road is always right. And I thank myself for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Please.
He's already so full of himself.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Think about this. We've been doing this show since 2015. So we've been on the air doing this stuff and hopefully informing and entertaining people for the longest time. But what I think I get the most enjoyment out of is the fact that we're not the only people that listen to the show. When we get people from Singapore, when we get people from other states in the country, when we find out that people in Russia have listened to our show, in Switzerland,
40 seconds.
It's crazy. So we thank all of you people out there for calling and making our show what it is, and we hope you continue in 2019.
Thank you for naming every damn country out of this damn world, Sean Black. The 20-second pilot. 20 seconds left. Guys, once again, thank you so much. See you next year. Have a good night. And as always, the pleasure was all yours. So, Sean Black, you still owe me a bottle of vodka for Christmas, remember?
Oh, damn.
Oh, of course.
All right.
Find out.
Good night, everyone.
Oh, man.
We'll see you guys
Merry
next
Christmas,
year.
Gentlemen and ladies.
Merry